right, everybody, welcome in. This is the Music Student Podcast. Thank you so much for checking out the show and giving this episode a listen, everybody. I always appreciate all the support. If you want to support the show even more, please go on over to patreon.com/themusicstudentpodcast, where you can get subscriptions for as little as $1 a month and get all the great bonus episodes of the show, including last week's recent interview with Michael Hull. That's right, you can get that for just $1 a month. All the bonus episodes that are out and coming out in the future, $1 a month is all it costs. That's patreon.com/themusicstudentpodcast. If you want to follow me on Instagram, you could do so at Nolan Weibel Music and keep up with everything I'm doing over there. And lastly, please go on over to my website, nolanweibelmusic.com. Check out my gig calendar. I have a lot of fun stuff coming up this spring, a lot of different musical spaces to hear me in the next couple months. So please check out those dates over at nolanweibelmusic.com. Okay, everybody, I have a really cool topic to talk about today, and one that I can't believe I haven't talked about on this show before, because this topic is really at the core of my musical identity. So today's episode is all about my thoughts on versatility. So I guess the way I'm structuring this episode is a little different than my usual one. I'm not going to do as many, like, here's these points and that points. I'm just going to kind of share my thoughts on this whole general topic that comes up in musical conversations a lot, of versatility. So first off here, what do I mean by versatility? Versatility can mean a lot of different things in regards to music. It can mean versatility in terms of musical genre, versatility as a performer in different styles, maybe versatility on different instruments. So there's a lot of different ways to frame this. And I'm going to just kind of be framing it in a very general way, because I feel like that's how people in music talk about versatility, is very vaguely and generally and with not a lot of specificity. And that's why I want to talk about it, because I'm coming at this from a place of when I was younger, especially like in high school, and I was considering going to college for music and thinking about a musical career. A lot of musicians, both teachers and professional working musicians, would preach and preach and preach about you have to be versatile. Things just aren't the way they used to be. There's not as many gigs. You have to be able to do it all. And obviously, you know, for someone like myself, not having a musical background, not having musical parents, I was like, what the heck does that mean? Like, of course you want to play a lot of different genres, duh. And I always have kind of done that. Like, ever since I was in high school, I've pretty much played a wide spectrum of different varieties of classical music, jazz, and commercial music my entire musical career. I've just always done that from the time I was a student to a professional to a graduate student to my gigs. That's a lot of what I do. And I've had a lot of time to think about it. And, you know, there's a lot of different lenses I've looked through at this. And I thought it would just be good to talk about the vibe of that and what it means to be versatile. And not necessarily like the direct pros and cons, but just what it really means, and maybe kind of give a different perspective on it as opposed to it just being something you have to do. I've been hearing a lot of people talk about this, of like everyone has to be versatile. And I guess I want to talk about, to me, what versatility really means, because it's not as general and simple, I think, as we always make it out to be. So again, I think like I wanted to talk about this just because this is just something people talk about, and they usually use that word like a necessity. And what I want to say is that, like, it's not like it's not a necessity. It is good to be versatile generally. Like, that's not bad advice. But I want to talk about what it really means to be versatile. And like, I can only talk about this from my experience. I can't talk about this from anyone's outside myself, obviously. So for me, in a given month, I will do anything from play lead in a big band to play jazz duo at a restaurant, which is just, you know, playing standards and improvising, go to jam sessions, play in a brass quintet, play in a variety of church gigs as a soloist in a chamber orchestra setting, and maybe like a brass quartet or quintet. So, you know, maybe smaller chamber setting. I will do things like New Orleans style brass band gigs, just to name a few here, and a lot of other ones. You know, I will do church services on piccolo trumpets, orchestra gigs, anything. I mean, that this is all the different things I will do in a month. And I'm not saying all this to like flex all these different gigs I'm playing. I'm truly just saying this to be like, I feel like I do have a pretty versatile schedule. It's the point where it's actually very overwhelming. And that's kind of what I'm going to get to later. Again, not necessarily in a negative way, but I think it's just important to preface that. I do a lot of different types of gigs in a lot of different types of styles with different musicians from different backgrounds and different styles, genre, playing different instruments. You know, just those gigs I mentioned. I mean, in a month, I will play B-flat, C-trumpet, piccolo trumpet, and flugelhorn. I truthfully don't do a whole lot of E-flat trumpet playing. You know, maybe I need to put more of that in my wheelhouse. But if I'm just being honest with you all, yeah, E-flat trumpet, I'm probably not the guy. Same thing with like a baroque trumpet. Like, you know, look, I mean, I'm being very versatile, but there are things I don't do. Like the baroque music thing, not really my bag. You know, can I do some of those solos on a piccolo trumpet? Yeah, but that's not really something I do very often. So as you can see, just from me talking about all these like different gigs I do, yes, being versatile in all the sense, like the frames I kind of mentioned in terms of genre, styles of music, being able to play different instruments. If you're versatile in those ways as a performer, yes, you will get more gigs. And it basically means you can say yes to more things, which is great. And that is extremely helpful and beneficial. And I really want to take a moment here to emphasize that that is a very positive thing. And again, that's who I am. I am the jack of all trades kind of trumpet player. I do a lot of different gigs in a lot of different settings. And I'm going to take a minute here. I could make a whole podcast episode about this part of this, but I'm just going to mention it in passing. And maybe I'll like come back to it in a later episode. But a few ways that I can do all these things is by being a good fundamental trumpet player. I know I stress this a lot on this podcast, but this is why, you know, because I play a lot of different gigs. I'm very fortunate to be in that position, but I truly feel like I can do a lot of these things because I have spent a lot of time working on how I fundamentally play my instrument and developing my technique on the instrument. And what I mean by this is having the ability to make a good fundamental sound so I can manipulate the sound into any style, genre, setting I need to. Subsequently, having really great technique so there's no technical limitation in terms of different instruments, different transpositions, you know, finger things, range, both high and low in the horn. All these things that I'm kind of brushing over here are just essential to playing different genres of music. And, you know, just to kind of give you a real world example, you know, in my mind, obviously a lot of people on the trumpet talk about range, but I think having good range is different in a commercial setting to a classical setting to a lead setting. Like there's having a good lead trumpet sound in terms of leading the ensemble with your phrasing and your style and having the range to that. And there's having good range and a certain style to like a New Orleans style brass band. And then there's having like certain types of range and efficiency when you're playing piccolo trumpet. All three of those styles there, from like lead trumpet in a big band to playing trumpet in a brass band, to playing piccolo trumpet, those are three own separate skills. But the one common denominator they have is all like having really good efficiency and endurance to be able to do those things. Now, that said, you know, there's not one be-all, end-all way for me, at least right now in my career, to just perfectly work on one of those things. That like, there's not like one, you know, magic thing I do that, you know, helps me do all these things. I do like work on a lot of like, you know, different types of attacks, long tones and flexibility that it has, you know, makes me and helps me get the range to those things. But in terms of style, which is what I'm getting at here, like I do have to spend time making sure I'm really dialed in to the specifics of each of those styles. So that's just an example of how, you know, if you have good fundamental technique, it gives you the opportunity to work on the style to play in, like, for example, those three types of settings. So that's just to kind of give you an idea of that. Another thing I want to mention in terms of playing all these different gigs that I do in these different styles and different genres of music is you really get a deeper knowledge than I think most people do of a lot of different styles of music and just, I guess, more depth. You know, there's something to be said for I'm a classically trained musician and I, you know, play some pops orchestra stuff, or I have played in a big band before. And that's great. I think everyone who is a classically trained musician should be doing things like that. And I think that will definitely help you, you know, be more versatile. But just because you've played in a big band doesn't mean, you know, you can improvise over chord changes or you understand the ins and outs of how to play jazz standards with other musicians. Notice I didn't just say a combo. I'm saying even like if you were just playing duo with a bass player or piano player, or even if it is a combo, like, do you know the structure and kind of like the pedigree of how to go up to rhythm sections and say, hey, I'd like to play There Will Never Be Another You. and walk through that and be able to do that without a lead sheet and be able to play the melody, hit the changes, and, you know, lead a group that way. And I'm not trying to sound pretentious by saying this, but, you know, just like anything, there's a depth of knowledge to be learned with anything you're doing. Same thing, like if I were to go into certain orchestral settings, like, yeah, there's a certain depth there that I would really have to spend time studying with people, listening to music, understanding the repertoire in a deeper way that I don't at this phase of my career. So I think sometimes it's just easy to say like, oh, I have done this, therefore I can do a lot of things in that. And it's not that that's totally untrue. It's just that I think it's important to really think about how much time you've spent with something before you agree to it. Now, with that said, obviously, you know, even looking at someone like myself, there have definitely been situations I've said yes to where I've been like, oh, like I haven't done this as much as I would like to, but I think I can get myself to a place where I can do it. Like, it's okay to do things like that once in a while. But if you want to continue doing those things, you have to grow at them. So I know I've explained this a lot, but let me give a more tangible example. Let's go with this classical musician background again. Let's say you're predominantly a classical player. You're in school. You mostly work on solo repertoire, maybe some orchestral excerpts. You're in like a wind band, and maybe you do some chamber playing, and you've played in a jazz band. And someone invites you to play with like a jazz combo for like a cocktail hour, like a small group, a trio, something like that, for a cocktail hour at a wedding. And you go, like, I know I've played a couple tunes before and I've taken some solos, but I don't know if I know a whole repertoire to play an hour set or something like that. That's a situation where you have to decide, can you get yourself to the point where you can get through that gig? And a way of doing that might be like, okay, let me get a hold of some lead sheets and learn some tunes. And, you know, I'm going to be reading sheet music for this gig, but I'm going to learn the music as best I can. I think that's totally great. But you have to understand that's the baseline for yourself. Like, okay, I took this gig and I listened to like 8 to 10 standards. I got lead sheets for them and I hired people that were aware of that I'm going to be playing lead sheets and they were cool with that. And like, you know, it's all good. I mean, that happens. It's like, great. But now that's the baseline for yourself in my mind. Now it's like, okay, how can you continue to develop that? So 2 to 3 years from now, you're not still reading lead sheets on a gig where you probably wouldn't need them. And the importance in this situation of not using lead sheets is it allows you to interact with the band better. Is it the end of the world that you're reading lead sheets on a private gig? No, it's not that big of a deal. But in terms of your self-development, if you want to say, yes, I'm someone that can play these gigs, you want to get better at it. At least in my mind, that's the goal. Any gig I say yes to in any style, I want to be better at. I'll even give you an example that just happened for me. I just played with a blues band lately. It was like a traditional rhythm and blues group, and it was a horn section type of deal. I've played in a lot of horn sections, but I haven't played this specific blues style a ton. I'm very familiar with the blues, having a jazz background. I know how that works, but there's some like specific little details about how I articulate some things and, you know, kind of even like a dynamic thing, how loud or soft to play and how I blend with the other instruments, that when I played the gig, I'm like, I need to think about this a little bit harder so I can do a better job next time. Again, not that I did a bad job or anything like that, but there was room for me to improve and almost like do more, like give more respect to this music. Cause I don't want to go around saying like, oh, now I'm a blues musician. Yeah, I can do that. That's easy. I would never say that. I'd say, yeah, I have had the opportunity to do that and I'm still developing my skills in that specific kind of avenue. So with all these examples, it's just, you know, important for me to say to you all that it's okay to take opportunities to expand your horizons. I think that's really great. But you just want to constantly be aware of where yourself as a musician, as a developing musician, where you're at with some of those skills. So you're not overstepping where you might be. And, you know, hopefully you don't end up in a place where, you know, you've taken an opportunity where maybe you wouldn't be successful. So it's just all about having good self-awareness. That's kind of what this point comes down to. Have good self-awareness of where your skills are at with certain aspects of versatility. I hope that makes sense for everybody out there. So I've talked a lot about the opportunities that being versatile can, you know, provide for you. And that's great. And I think that's awesome. And I encourage everyone to do that. I want to talk about some of the other things that comes with like pursuing this type of path of playing a lot of different styles of music, genres, styles, instruments, things like that. One thing that I think people didn't talk about a lot when they were giving me this advice of be versatile. One thing people didn't mention was you're still going to be held to the standard of someone that's a specialist in that field, which maybe is an obvious point, but you know, when you're on the gig and you haven't played that music a lot, it feels different. I'll give an example. Again, I'm being very honest about these situations, but you know, I think that's important for me to do in this podcast. I think it was a little while ago, I got asked to play an opera gig. I've not done a lot of opera gigs. This specific situation, it was a kind of like a recommissioned opera. Like it was something like it was a play and it was being turned into an opera. And someone had written an original score to it. So it was kind of like an up and coming production, but it was at a legit concert hall in a major city. And there were musicians that were, I was not hired as a union musician, but there were union musicians on the gig from that major symphony's orchestra there. So like, you know, for myself, I was like, oh, there's some really heavy classical musicians here. This is awesome. And I was contracted to play second trumpet. And I took the gig because I got the music and I said, yeah, I think I can play that. And it was a very like, you know, opera type of gig, like seed trumpet, a lot of mutes and a lot of different like nuances of it. But I had gotten the opportunity to look at the music and I'm like, yeah, I think I can do this. This will be cool. And, you know, that was a situation where I, you know, got to the gig and I was like, wow, I could not believe the level from the first rehearsal a lot of these musicians were at. And there were just ins and outs of how they all functioned that I kind of had to like, I guess like step up to. One of those was they brought in this conductor from a different state. They had flown this person in because they said, we want you to conduct this. And the conductor was great. But you know, the interaction that they had with the musicians was so organic. Like the musicians just knew like where they wanted to place the beat off the conductor's baton. And as a lot of you out there know, you know, the beat sometimes for a conductor is just maybe a little behind the stick. And that varies a lot depending on the, if it's a wind band, an orchestra, what type of, it varies quite a bit. But I was just amazed that like the group just agreed, yep, this is where the beat's going to be. This is how we're going to interact with this person. And it was just really amazing that like, it just felt natural to them. And I realized I'm like, oh, it feels natural to them because they do hundreds of these gigs. They've done this a lot and I haven't. I've only done a few. I really haven't done much work like this. And that's why it was just such a good experience for me to pick up on this. But again, like this is just something I feel like it's important to be aware of because I'm like, no one's going to give me the slack of, oh, well, Nolan's really great. He's a great trumpet player and he does a lot of these gigs, but he doesn't, you know, do as much of this. So, you know, if he's not always with us, we'll give him some slack. No one ever says anything like that or is thinking that. You know, my principal trumpet player is expecting me to be right with them all the time, in sync, seamlessly, you know, no questions about it. And that was something from the first rehearsal, I just had to be like, okay, this is how we're doing this. Blend, 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 breathe in time, play with everybody. You know, basically there was so much I had to absorb so fast. And, you know, I'm not saying this is a bad thing because I find this very exciting. This is why I do like being versatile and playing a lot of different gigs because you have a lot of new challenges every day. But I think it's just important to mention all of you out there who are looking to get into different types of performing opportunities. You have to be like a sponge all the time. You have to be able to mold and adapt and absorb what's going on around you extremely quickly. Now, this gig went great. I don't want to give anyone the impression that that didn't go well. Everyone was very happy with me. I did a good job. It was fine. But I felt prepared for that. And I, you know, again, because one, I felt like musically and technically I could hang with what the music was. And then it was really just like adapting to this type of, you know, style. Like we were in like an orchestra pit and, you know, just like the whole vibe of the rehearsals and the performances, I had to be like, okay, this is how this is going to go. Just try and blend and mold with everybody else. And it worked out great. And that was awesome. But, you know, it's always a reminder to me whenever I take a gig in a style or a genre of music that I don't normally play in to be like, you know, on my game as much as I can and to be as flexible as I possibly can. And what I'm trying to convey to all you out there is that you have to be ready for everyone to hold you to the highest of standards, you know, and that setting for me, I wasn't Nolan the, you know, really versatile trumpet player that plays a lot of commercial jazz gigs, some classical things too. I was Nolan, the guy that is expected to be a great classical trumpet player that plays in a lot of opera gigs. You know, that's what people think they're getting, and that's what I was expected to deliver. And that's how you have to carry yourself when you take a gig like that. So I think it's just important to mention so that everyone's aware that, You know, just because you play a lot of different styles of gigs doesn't mean people look at you as like, oh, you're the versatile musician. They're going to look at you as the person to do the job for the service or gig you've been hired for. So obviously, with that said, you know, you end up being in a lot of different situations in a very short amount of time. You know, I kind of gave the example earlier in the episode of like, yeah, even in a given week, I will do anything from some solo classical trumpet performances to small group jazz, to playing lead in a big band, to playing in a brass quintet. And I've talked about a lot of the great things about that. But one thing that I have felt over my career a little bit is that you kind of fall into that saying of, yeah, jack of all trades, master of none. And I've probably been too negative about that times. And I don't think a lot of people who do a lot of different gigs feel that way. But there are certainly times I think all of us, you know, who do a lot of different stuff feel like we're not really masters of anything. And it can be kind of a downer that way. Because, you know, a lot of people we look up to in any, you know, situation, like you look at a Tom Hooton, an amazing, amazing orchestral trumpet player. You know, we're like, oh, that's his thing. Like he can just play the snot out of orchestral stuff. Or, you know, Wayne Bergeron, amazing, amazing lead trumpet player. These are these people that are just titans of, you know, specific aspects of playing their instruments. Not to say those people can't do other things, because they can. Both of those trumpet players are phenomenal and can play in a variety of different styles. But I would say that's predominantly what they're known for. Tom Hooton's, you know, principal of the LA Phil, and that's what he's known for. And Wayne Bergeron's a lead trumpet player. That's mostly what he's known for doing. Again, they do lots of other things, obviously very, very, very well. But, you know, I don't think there's a lot of people that do those things better than those people. And I think people can call them specialist in those category. So as someone like myself that does a lot of different types of gigs, it's hard comparing myself to even, you know, regional people that do things very, very well. Great principal trumpet players of orchestras, great jazz players who are amazing improvisers. It's like, yeah, like I do that. I think I do it pretty well, but I don't do it as well as someone that pretty much just takes gigs that are built around improvisation, because not all my gigs are built around improvisation. So if you're really passionate about something, let's just say like improvisation like that, and you do a lot of musical work that's not involved with improvisation, yeah, you're not always going to feel like a great improviser. So some of you might be asking, you know, like, why am I being so negative? And I'm not. I'm not trying to be negative or be pessimistic about my view on this stuff, on playing a lot of different gigs and being versatile. Because I said before, it's led to a lot of great opportunities for me and a lot of different styles of music. And I think that's awesome. And I truly feel very blessed for those opportunities. But I think what's important to say to people who are still figuring this out is that you need to find what's best for you and be okay with that. And I think it's even okay to say, yeah, if you want to be a specialist, it's okay to want to be a specialist. I don't think it's too bold to say, yeah, if you want to be a specialist, you can do that and be very, very good at it. Because I think a lot of people are afraid to say that because, you know, it's hard to find opportunities in just one thing. You know, there's only so many orchestra spots that pay a full-time wage. And, you know, in terms of like jazz positions, like there's some military bands and like, I guess a couple of groups that you can be on tour with and figure that out for yourself or be like a jazz artist. But those things I just mentioned are very, very, very hard to do. It's, I would say, a little bit more attainable to do a lot of different things, okay, you know, at like a regional level. And that's fine. That's really what I am. I do a lot of different things at a regional level at a pretty high level. That's what I do. I play a lot of different types of gigs, and that's cool. But I feel like that's who I am, because that's what I've always done. I've always played a lot of different styles of music, and I've really enjoyed that. And I've talked a lot on this episode about why I enjoy that. But when I talk to other musicians about this and why I'm talking about this today on this episode, you don't have to do that. I will never give a masterclass and be like, oh yeah, you have to play in all these different styles and do all the different types of styles I'm doing, because that's how you're successful. Because that's just not true. You know, there are still going to be people that are simply just amazing fundamental trumpet players that are more geared toward orchestral playing, and they will win spots in orchestras. Or they will, you know, be great fundamental trumpet players that really work really hard on auditions for military bands and be very good at being, you know, trumpet players that play in a concert band or a wind ensemble and things like that. Like, there are people out there that are amazing at that. That is their thing. They are great wind ensemble section or principal trumpet players. Like, that's their bag. And that's something important to mention too. Despite all the versatility out there, everyone still kind of has a thing that they are best at, like a bag. I always compare it to baseball players because I'm a big baseball fan, and I think it's just a good analogy. Like, yes, everyone wants a hitter that can hit 300 and hit 30 home runs and 100 RBIs. But there's a reason people with those stats usually win MVP, because there's not a lot of people that can do that. Most baseball players, you can still put into a category of, do they hit more for average or do they hit more for power? Or do they, or are they more of like a getting on based specialist? You know, even if some people do a few of those things okay, which is a lot of players, like a lot of players do a lot of those things pretty well, you can still categorize them if you had to. And I think, you know, I mean, I'm talking a lot as a trumpet player, but as musicians, that's the case a lot too. Like if, you know, again, if I'm being honest with myself, I am probably most labeled as like a commercial musician. I do a lot of like modern music in like horn section things, and like some pseudo jazz stuff very, very well. Like I have like the range that fits that, the sound that fits that. I think I do other things well. I think I'm a pretty good jazz musician. I think I'm a pretty good classical musician. I can do those things very, very well. But you know, if I had to categorize myself, I could. And I think that's important to mention too. And I think people are afraid to do that and say that. And I'm just not like, it's, you know, I, again, the message I want to drive home here is that you have to do what's going to be best for you, and you have to accept that. And that's really what my goal is. And if you think that's like, hey, I'm going to be the next Nicholas Payton, I really want to be like a jazz solo artist, great, go for it, do it. I think that's what you should want to do. And I want to just, you know, clear up as like we kind of start to wrap up here. I'm not saying don't be versatile. Like if you want to be the next Nicholas Payton, great. But I still think you should be versatile. Like I still think you should have other skills. But I don't think you should be discouraged from having your main identity be like a jazz soloist or something like that. I'll give a couple like shout outs, and I don't know these people personally, but people I think of like Benny Benack III. You know, he's really well known as a jazz trumpet soloist and a singer. That's his identity. Is he a sideman? Does he play a lot of different gigs? Yes. And is he a versatile trumpet player? Yeah. But I would say if you just like Google him, like he's known as like his own deal. Like you see him recordings with his band, with other people's band as a soloist, as a jazz trumpet soloist and as a singer. That's his deal. And you can do that. Like, you know, if you work hard enough and have the talent, have the ability and the drive, you can get yourself there. I think that's okay to tell people that. I feel like, you know, I'm kind of giving this episode almost out of necessity, because I think sometimes we overprescribe the, you have to do all things. And again, just to kind of like clear up some things, I'm not regretting like who I am as a musician, because I love what I do. I love all the different gigs I play, and I truly believe that's my purpose and my identity, and I love doing that. I love like all the craziness of having to play different trumpets, different styles, like every different day of the week. I love the chaos of that. I thrive in it. It's just the best. I really enjoy it. But I would never want my passion for versatility to discourage someone who's called to be a specialist, whose dream is to be like a principal trumpet player. Like if that's what you think you're best at and what you think you're going to do, then by all means go about that. So I'm not trying to be, you know, Mr. Hot Take Music Student Podcast, but I think it's just important to get that message out there. And really the message is, do what it is that your heart's set on. If your heart is set on doing one thing, do that. If your heart's set on being versatile and playing a bunch of different styles and gigs, great. Or if it's somewhere in the middle, because guess what? That exists too, and it's totally cool. Do that. Follow the path that you're meant to be on. That's really what today's message is all about. So I hope this was helpful for you all. And please let me know your thoughts about it. Comment, give me an email at nolanweibelmusic@gmail.com. And let me know what you think about versatility. What does versatility mean to you? Again, I hope this was helpful for all of you all today. Please let me know your thoughts. And thanks again for listening, everybody. I will catch you all next time.